God has given all of us a mission to make disciples here and everywhere for the glory of God. We want our church to be a launch pad for sending people out on the mission God has for them. Regardless of who you are, we all have a role to play. We are all involved in God's story. We pray that the story shared through Mission Control will encourage you to see how God is calling you to be used by Him. Hello, my name is Amanda, and I'm the Communications Director here at First Baptist Melbourne and the host of this podcast. I'm so glad you're joining us in Mission Control. Today, we have Glenn and Shannon Garner with us. The Garners are currently serving as International Mission Board missionaries in the Czech Republic. They initially became connected to our church through the Wolf family. Darren and Amy Wolf have been longtime church members, and Darren is currently serving as our administrative pastor. Despite living overseas, the Garners loved our church so much that they became members of our church several years ago. I really enjoyed getting to know the Garners through the conversation you were about to hear. Hearing their story really opened my eyes and broadened my sense of what it means to be a missionary. In our conversation today, we talk about the times in life when a sense of direction from God seems so clear, only to be faced with what feels like closed door after closed door. We talk about how God can use those seasons to stretch us and prepare us for what He has ahead. Can you share a little bit how you became connected with First Baptist Melbourne?
You know, actually, it goes back to, I'm going to mess the year up, but we were on a short stateside. It was a 2-month stateside. And we were staying with Shannon's mom, who had moved to Palm Bay probably 2 or 3 years before that. She moved there to be close to Amy and Darren. But Amy and Darren weren't going to that church yet. And I honestly don't remember how we went there. But we visited First of Melbourne. Maybe they had visited there but weren't members yet. I don't remember exactly.
So this was a while ago.
It's been a long time ago. It was probably 2010. No, we didn't do – it was probably 2012. No, it would have been before that.
Yeah.
It was probably 2008.
And your connection – so this is Darren Wolf, our administrative pastor. What's the connection to Amy and Darren again?
So Amy is Shannon's sister.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah. So anyway, we visited in 2008, and I honestly don't remember how we got – how we chose that church to visit. We just really liked the way Larry was a pastor at the time. I liked the sermon. I liked the things he talked about. You know, he was – I remember he had passport applications up at front, and he encouraged people to go up front and get a passport because if God calls you to the mission field, that way you'll have that step already done.
You'll be
famous for that.
Yeah. So, I mean, there were just all kinds of things like that. The activities that he was promoting were all mission-related. They weren't just – you know, come invite your friends to a potluck dinner. They were all mission related. I remember those things about that church. And so later when Amy and Darren joined and became members, again, we were there in the States visiting her mom, probably staying with her mom. And so that's where we would visit. And that type of atmosphere was always there, missions minded, always in front of the congregation and full of activities that were community mission driven.
Cool.
Anything to add to that?
Well, I was just going to say, so then we became members in 2000 when?
18.
18?
Mm-hmm.
We had been members of a church in Texas, but we never really did stateside in Texas and weren't getting to Texas very much at all. And so when we were, and we really just like First of Melbourne and wanted to be affiliated with them, even though it's kind of weird because you still don't attend because you're on the field the whole time.
Yeah.
But And at that point, we talked to Scott about becoming members of First of Melbourne, even though we live overseas. So
I think that's cool. Is this something that a lot of overseas missionaries deal with a lot in terms of their connection with a local stateside church, or is it a lot more kind of integrated with where they were sent out from?
If I understand your question right, I think we are the exception. I think a lot of people are sent out from the church where they grew up in, mm-hmm. and that's not the case for us. We were sent from a church where we had been about 5 years, but my job moved us out there. We didn't really have any connection to that city.
Okay.
And we still have some dear friends there.
Yeah.
But with our short amount of time we have in the States, we rarely go there to visit.
Sure, it's hard.
So it's kind of weird for us. And the church that I grew up in has been through a lot of changes. It's just not the same place that I grew up in.
Yeah.
And so.
Cool. So we talk a lot about you being overseas and all that stuff. Where does God currently have you on mission? What are you doing?
We are currently in Prague, Czech Republic.
Okay.
And that's this past term was our first term in Prague. Our first term in Europe altogether. We have been on the field for, actually it'll be 21 years this year. And we started our first 17 years in Central Asia. And like I said, just 4 years ago, 5 years ago, we moved to Prague. So Glenn's job is logistics. He is a lead logistics services consultant,
fancy
for all of Eastern Europe.
Okay.
And what does that mean? Well, that means he's taking care of people's housing and cars and taxes and visas and relocations,
legal issues. I kind of consult on some of the entities that we own or people that are associated with, like foundations or nonprofits that they might be associated with to a certain degree.
So is this logistics of other IMB missionaries?
Right.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yes. My role is actually new since 2019. I am the only one of my kind within the IMB. I am the Global Guest Housing Coordinator. And what does that mean? We have guest houses around the globe, IMB guest houses, and those guest houses are managed by our people. We have those guest houses for various reasons. Most of the logistics guest houses are there to help people who have to come out from a city where they don't have good medical care. So they come out to a place that does have good medical care and typically will have a guest house there for them to stay in.
Gotcha.
Because they're probably delivering a baby or doing something that's going to take quite an amount of time. So we have the guest houses there where they can stay for 2 months or whatever it takes to get the new passport and such. You know, medical runs, visa runs, meetings, for whatever reason, we have these guest houses. And so I help support the guest house managers around the globe.
So is this a brand new role or there's just one person in the role in general?
It's a brand new role as of 2019. In the past, the guest house managers were doing their own thing and there wasn't really much support for them in that role. And so now we've kind of created a team with the guest house managers so they can bounce questions off of each other. Hey, how do you do this? Or how often should we, from property management systems to how often do you change your mattresses?
Gotcha.
Just the whole gamut.
Hey, you're also bringing some consistency across
yes.
all of them. So that's a big task.
Yeah.
And so, Glenn, have you been in the role of logistics this whole 20-year span?
For the most part, the role didn't really exist as it is now back then. But almost from our first week on the field, I was part of a church planning team, but part of the team was in a different city. And the part that was in our city had to leave suddenly. And they had all these projects going and it fell on me to close them down, not to keep them running, but to close them down, which, you know, was all kinds
Weird.
Of logistical tasks.
Yeah.
And it was also a time in the country where the government was forcing a lot of people to leave by not renewing their visas. not allowing new people in. And so that meant we had a lot of assets there in the country that need to be liquidated. And I was the guy there that could do it, even though I'd only been there a little while. And God just put the right people in my path that helped me get things like that done. And it just stuck. So what, 6 years later, when they officially made this a position, I was asked to step into it and do that full time.
Okay.
Full time meaning 80% of my, at the time, it meant 80% of my time was to be spent doing that stuff and 20% of my time doing what we call the real thing and being active with the church planting team.
Gotcha, gotcha, gotcha. What were y'all doing before God called you to the mission field, and what did that journey kind of look like?
I was an accountant before, so I had been working professionally for 8, maybe 9 years. And Shannon stayed home with the girls, and she had already started homeschooling our oldest. So, yeah.
Okay. What was the journey like being called to the mission field? What did that look like for you?
Okay, I'm going to start. I actually felt called to missions as a 12-year-old. Whether that was a legitimate call or not, I can't say, but I don't ever remember veering from that call.
Yeah.
So, and that came from hearing a lot of missionaries at our church speak. I just knew that that's what I wanted to do someday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fast forward to college, and I meet this guy beside me. Who is an accountant or a finance major. And when he asked me to marry him and I said yes, I remember my best friend at the time was like, you have ruined your life. She didn't tell me that right then and there, but she told me later what, you know, she was thinking. I had made a big mistake in saying yes to him because he was not planning to be a missionary.
Oh, okay.
So when I was 12, missions was the last thing on my mind.
But was accounting the first thing on a 12-year-old's mind either?
Not at 12. I don't know what I was thinking at 12. But probably in junior high school, honestly, I was always interested in finance and Wall Street and economics.
Okay.
Not that I was a total geek in that, but it was always interesting to me.
Yeah.
You know, how you could make money with just using your money. And so that's what led me to study economics and finance in college. And I thought that's what my calling was. So that's what my degree is in, and I thought that's what I would do. And again, I grew up in a very mission-minded church where we always had missionaries. We had two families that were I don't know if they're actually founding members of the church, but had been in the church forever, that were serving with the Foreign Mission Board with the Southern Baptist. And of course, they were always, when they were in the States, they lived there and I saw them all the time. And we also had other missionaries come in regularly to speak. And our pastor was always taking trips. So it was missions was a very integral part of our church as I was growing up. And so even as I kind of grew up a little bit from a teenager into a young adult college student, I knew that missions were important and I wanted to play a role in that. But I never imagined my role would be this. I thought it would be supporting it financially with all the money I made as a stockbroker or something.
Yeah.
And so my senior year, I was convinced to go on a mission trip with a group from Liberty. And it really opened my eyes a little bit to a different aspect of what mission work can be. We did a lot of different things on that trip. We did some street evangelism. We did some, not remodel, but,
remodeling.
We helped church do some remodeling.
Construction.
Yeah, yeah, we did some painting, basically is all we did. But, you know, it was hands-on help that they needed. And yeah, we just did a lot of different. We went to an orphanage and helped entertain some kids and bring some smiles to their faces. So it just gave me a little more broader idea of what missions can be like. It's not just standing in a shade tree in Africa preaching to a bunch of people.
Sure.
But I left that still thinking, not at all feeling a call to missions, but that my role in mission would be supporting it financially and maybe doing other trips like that in the future as a professional. About after we got married, my brother joined IMB and he went to a closed country. And we stayed involved in his work and followed him. And we actually sent him some like used magazines that they would use for teaching English as a second language, which was a big part of his ministry. And just through, again, that broadened our eyes to what missions could be in a way we hadn't realized before. And after he did his first term, he came back to the States, and about the same time, the church we were going to, the pastor gave a series of sermons on being called. I think it was the same title every week. And every week, I just have to clutch that pew to keep going forward. Because the urge is so great to be involved in a meaningful way. And, but I really didn't understand what that was like because I was already working full time and had a baby and, and just didn't understand how my skills or my interest could relate because I still was a little bit stuck on the, I'm not a pastor type. I'm not a public speaker. And, you know, what good is that on the mission field? But I couldn't deny the urge I was feeling. So I was willing to give up what I thought was the perfect job for me. And I had to say, you know, God, if you want me to do this, if you want me to pursue this, you need to do something with this job because I my intention is to retire with this company. This is great.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know exactly when, but along that time, I actually called the board, called IMB, and I told them why I was calling. They gave me to a guy they called a candidate consultant was, you know, the actual job title. I remember his name, which I won't say right now. I told him why I was calling. He asked me two questions. The first question he asked was, do you have a seminary degree? And of course I had to answer no. And he asked me, do you have 2 years of working in a local church? And of course the answer was no. And his response was, why don't you go get a degree and call me back then?
A seminary degree.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
And so I may have actually slammed the phone. It was so frustrating for him.
That would be a very discouraging call. Yeah.
And it was very confusing to me because again, I couldn't deny this feeling of these, the series of sermons about being called. But not long after that, well, God answered my prayer because I said, you know, let something happen to this job. And it wasn't long after that I got called to the controller's office. And basically he said, we have to let you go. We're doing some changes and you're the last guy here.
First guy out.
Let you go.
Yikes. Yeah.
And I was gobstopped.
Be careful what you pray for.
Yeah. Well, there's an answer.
Yeah, exactly. So, and I understood the answer, but I still didn't understand how do I fit into this? Okay. Yeah. I understand what you're telling me, but I still don't understand how I fit into this.
Yeah.
And so God provided another job for me. Obviously I didn't go get a degree,
took a seminary degree. Yeah.
Right. I still didn't get the seminary degree. Took another job with the same company. They found a different position with a different, in a different location for me. But that yearning, that call never left me. And there was even a job opening within the company that was dealing with international sales. And I spoke to my direct supervisor about doing that because, hey, maybe that's what what God has in mind.
Yeah.
But that didn't work out. So I'm still having this call, still confused. So I kind of prayed the same thing. I didn't learn my lesson the first time. And, you know, after in less than 2 years, that job was gone and I was laid off again, or for real, actually really laid off this time. But again, God provided another job that didn't make us move, because by that time I had two kids, two little girls running around the house that needed to eat and diapers.
Yeah.
So he provided another job. Same thing happened. I was confused, didn't understand how it fit in. Got the same answer, lost that job. Finally, in 2002, my brother was home on stateside and he had a meeting at a church, and he invited a lot of supporters just to hear the work they'd been doing and where they were trying to go as a team. Shannon and I went to that meeting, and at that time, we both, although we had been supporting them, we still kind of thought they were kind of crazy for where they lived and what they did.
Gotcha.
But we both, during that meeting, felt the call that we need to go where they are and we need to see it, experience it. And the thought was to go for a couple of years to be able to really be their number one cheerleaders in the States and drum up support for them. So I asked him, what would that mean in my situation? No seminary degree, no experience in church.
Yeah.
He says, oh, you know, they had this relatively new program called the ISC program. And it's just for people that kind of like you that have other work experience. And you can use that work experience in place of the church work experience. And you don't have it to have a full degree. And so apply and see what happens. And that's what we did. Actually, I don't know when we exactly applied, because the meeting was at the end of November. So I'm sorry, the end of January. So we probably didn't actually apply until February.
Well, as soon as we got home, we started the paperwork.
Yeah, but we were on the field in September that year, which is like amazingly quick.
Mm-hmm. And at this point, did you have two kids or three kids?
We had all three by that time, yeah.
How did that play into, this seems like a multi-year kind of ramp up to, okay, here's the open door for this finally. How did the kids play into that? Were they cool with the decision? Were they just so young they didn't understand?
I think they were so young they didn't understand. They were 5, 3, and 2 when we went to the field initially. I, as their mother, during our, what was that interview? I guess it was an interview with the IMB board of directors. Before you went to the field, they would do a little interview with you. And one particular board member asked me about taking the kids overseas, and I just started bawling. I'm like, they didn't choose this for themselves. We're taking them away from grandparents in the United States, and what are we doing? And but they, if they were on this call with us today, would say it was the best thing, that they would never change their experience living overseas. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's, as a mother myself of two with one on the way, I can completely empathize with what that would feel like.
Yes.
That's crazy. Yeah. Now, Glenn, did you know about Shannon's kind of felt calling to missions this whole time? Was that something that you're upfront with in your relationship?
Yeah, I know about it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool. So is your current role here kind of what you expected the mission field to look like once you did enter it?
No, not at all. Because like I said, we were part of a church planning team. And so most of the work was what we call 0 to 1, trying to find that first Christian, that first believer.
Gotcha.
I never imagined that it would turn into doing logistics full time.
Do you enjoy doing the logistics off the record, potentially?
I do.
That's good.
Yes, I do. Because it is how I'm, you know, it's kind of the answer to that question of how do I fit in here?
Yeah.
I am still really shy. I am still not a good speaker. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a preacher. But I do have skills that most people that have those skills are not as strong in. And so
yeah.
I'm thankful to be able to use my giftings to help those guys advance the kingdom.
The logistics role, you might have already answered this, but the logistics role, did it exist when you initially joined the mission field? Or is this something that has also just kind of blossomed in the IMB and your time in the IMB?
Both. It kind of existed in a different form. Maybe this is more than you need to know, but a lot of teams had somebody on their team they called a BSM or business management.
Service manager.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they handled a lot of the logistical things for their team, where now it's not necessarily by team, it's more by geographical location. And
okay.
There's not one tied to every team, but more or less mostly one to a country.
And it encompasses more now than it did before.
Yeah, certainly.
The
role itself has expanded.
It's more worldwide. It's more standardized.
Right.
Okay. That's cool. So you mentioned this is your second term in Prague. How long is a typical term with the IMB?
Good question.
Well, a term can be as short as 22 months.
Okay.
With exception, can it go beyond 4.5 years, I think is the right number.
How long was your first term?
Our first term was a 2-year assignment because it was a temporary thing.
Okay.
After our first term, we decided to make it a career.
Okay.
Yeah, so that ISC term was 2 years.
Gotcha. And then how long was your first term in Prague?
It was 4 years.
A full 4 years, almost
4 years.
Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What has work been like in Prague? It's a new city to you. I mean, not as new. What have things been like?
Well, the language is horrible. It's a very difficult language.
What language do they speak?
It's Czech.
Oh, okay.
But it's a fun city to live in. It's a beautiful city. It's an international city. There are a lot of expats here from different countries. Which is fun, especially at church. What else?
Central Asia was just difficult living. But I would say actually doing ministry there amongst an Islamic people group was easier. Here, life is far easier, but trying to get an atheist to care about a discussion about God is far more difficult. But we absolutely love living in Prague. It's easy to accomplish your to-do list, far easier to accomplish that to-do list here. One of the countries we lived in, every 6 months we had to get new visas. But the process for getting new visas was long and took a lot of time. So you felt like you're just trying to get that next visa.
It almost became a full-time job just to get the
really?
Visa.
And now, I mean, it's so, we just look at each other and shake our heads every time we get a visa now because it's so easy.
That's cool.
So yeah, that's a nice thing. We can function in English in this city, which has not been the case in our previous cities. So that's a two-edged sword because it keeps you from learning language as well.
Yeah.
So, but it is nice.
I know we have teams coming and we have more of a relationship that's starting to form between First Baptist Melbourne and your work in Prague.
I'm so excited.
What are some of those things looking like?
Yeah, so the team that's coming this summer is going to help us in a city that's about an hour and a half outside of Prague. We began partnering with this Czech believer. She and her husband moved to the town is called Tlučna several years ago with the express purpose of reaching that town for the Lord.
Okay.
So when COVID hit and teams weren't able to come overseas, all of a sudden we have all these camps scheduled every summer because Europeans are a very big camp attending people.
Okay.
I think a lot of times husbands and wives or partners, whatever the case may be, are working. And so they send their kids to one camp after another all summer long. And so we get in on that. It's a great opportunity for us. And but now we have no teams coming in to help. So those of us on the field were scrambling, trying to help each other, which with all the camps that had to still go on.
Function.
And that's how we got in touch with Vera and began a relationship with her. We were so impressed with the work they were doing in that town that after camp, I said, what can we do to help you throughout the year? And so from that, we've begun this ministry relationship with Vera and her husband. And what that looks like is, well, for instance, for Easter, we will go and help with an Easter event that they're putting on. She does a fall event. She does all kinds of events. Last term, I was helping her every month with a ladies discussion group. She taught English to a group of ladies, and on the last Wednesday of every month, I would go join them. She would use a secular story and a biblical story to teach them English. And then when I went in on that last Wednesday, it was with the hope of going deeper into the biblical story and having a discussion with these ladies. I really enjoyed that. She has been stretched so thin, and she's seeing different things produce more fruit. And so she's stopped doing the ladies' discussion group. Mm-hmm. And so now that we've just returned, I'm in discussion with her again about, okay, now what can I do to help you throughout the year? They are amazing. They have spent so much of their own money to do ministry in Tolucna. They bought a house and fixed it up. It had to be gutted. It was terrible. It had to be gutted, starting from scratch almost, to build this house to be the YMCA in Tolucna.
Okay.
She has all kinds of programs running through the YMCA. The ladies' discussion group was also a part of that, but they do, you know, martial arts and ceramics and yoga and children's English classes and science classes. I mean, basically you name it, and they run a class from the YMCA. And again, the purpose is to meet the people in the town and be able to develop relationships with them. And it's the YMCA, so it's clearly a Christian organization, and she is able to share openly and give out Bibles. And so they do that, but she's also involved in the food pantry ministry. I don't know. I don't even know how she got connected to that, but she's able to go collect food and hand it out to needy families. And she will herself bake a loaf of bread, and she ties scripture around the loaf of bread and hand delivers the groceries to these people and is able to get into their homes and start a relationship in that way too. She recently started a food truck with the purpose, again, of
lots of ideas. Yeah.
She has the most ideas. I mean, she's like the best evangelist I've ever seen.
Now, is she a local to the Czech Republic, or is she an IMB missionary?
No, she is local.
Oh, okay.
Totally local. Yeah. She's a Czech. And so Czech to a Czech, they're going to respond differently than an American to a Czech.
For sure. For sure.
But it's been great partnering with them and helping them with all their crazy ideas. And so FBC Melbourne is sending a team this summer to help with one of the summer camps that we've been helping with since 2020.
Yeah, 20.
And I'm super excited about it.
Yeah, I know Amy's leading that trip, right? So that's also exciting.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, cool. What advice would you have for someone who's maybe trying to discern a call to the mission field?
Keep asking, keep searching, keep exploring. Talk about that to a mentor if you have one, or Sunday school teacher, pastor, well, even heathen friends, actually, unsaved friends, and see how they respond. And see, and that'll tell you, you know, is it really true? My guess is if you're feeling the calling, it's there, and you just need to keep pursuing it until it becomes clear in reality.
Cool.
In my eyes, until the door is shut, you keep walking through.
And it seemed like y'all had a lot of shut doors, but it the stirring like was just kept there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It never went away. Hope was it your never does.
Was your family supportive of that shift to the mission field? I know, yeah, Glenn, like you had a brother. Yeah.
Right. So, yeah.
And I grew up in church. My family was very supportive, although, of course, just could not imagine our leaving and to the place we were initially going. That was a little bit scary, especially for my mom. But she was able to visit us our second term overseas.
No, first term.
First term?
Yeah.
Okay. And once she visited, she felt 100% better.
Yeah.
Getting to meet the people and see, okay, they are actually safe here, you know. So that made all the difference in the world. But yeah, support on both sides.
That's awesome.
Yep.
And then finally, to close out, what advice do you have for someone who is feeling that call to make disciples here and everywhere for the glory of God?
Do it.
Yeah, kind of the same thing. Keep talking about it and do it. Take baby steps until you get a full understanding of what you're doing and perfect the craft.
I think a lot of people are held back because they feel like they don't know it all. So how can I lead someone else when I don't have all the answers myself? Well, I mean, kind of the definition of a leader is just being one step ahead, right? So if you're one step ahead, you can pull someone along. None of us have all of the answers. We're never going to have all of the answers. Be okay with saying, I don't have all of the answers, but I'm going to, you know, find out what I can for you. I think I particularly love discipleship. And I think when you get involved in that, it's very rewarding. And you grow just as much as the person that you're discipling. Mm-hmm. And, but then you also have to be prepared for disappointment. People are disappointing at times. And so,
yes, it's unfortunately.
Not, yeah. It doesn't all go as you might hope it would.
Amen to that.
Yeah.
Do you have any other closing thoughts you want to share?
I really just hope we've opened people's eyes to the fact that missions isn't all about evangelization and preaching. You can have a different skill set and be useful on the field. I was just talking to somebody on Wednesday who is a nurse. And she's a believer, and she never dreamed her nursing skills could be used on the mission field.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh my goodness, you are like a valued commodity. medical missions is a thing. So yeah, I think sometimes our view of missions is too small.
I think there's almost like this stereotype that at least from when I was a kid and from a young age, when you see the picture of missionary, it's the evangelist, the preacher.
Exactly.
So I think it is important to hear stories like from you of, well, here's kind of my path that I took in this. And this is just as much missionary mission field as the pastor and evangelist.
Yeah.
We all have different giftings. And if we're using our giftings and that helps those with the gift of evangelism and teaching and preaching to do their role better without having to worry about where they're going to live or what car they're going to drive or how to pay their taxes.
Mm-hmm.
We've freed them up to do what they're gifted in doing. And we're all on the same team.
Mm-hmm.
Just like at First Baptist Melbourne, you've got people doing various roles to accomplish the task that the church has. And it's no different overseas.
Mm-hmm.
So we have people who take videos and photographs. And so if that's your thing, there is a role for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we're all called to be involved. That's, I mean, it's called the Great Commission, right? And we're all gifted differently. We all have different talents and interests. And I believe wholeheartedly we have those because it takes all of those to do the mission well and to complete it. So everyone has a role. And it's our responsibility as an individual to find that role and to follow God and fulfill it.
And while we're doing that role, still we're making relationships with the local people and trying to share the gospel with those we're in contact with.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for hopping on this call and being my first overseas podcast guest. This is exciting.
Yay. Thanks for having us. Thanks for inviting us.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Mission Control. If you're interested in learning more about Launch 10X and the different ways to get involved in what God is doing here at First Baptist Melbourne, a great place to start would be visiting our website, launchme.church. On our next episode of Mission Control, we have Jerry Thornton joining us. Jerry is currently serving as the Associational Mission Strategist for the Brevard Baptist Association, but more importantly, he's my dad. I'm definitely biased, but we had a great conversation about how we are all called to ministry and the importance of saying yes to the ministry opportunities God presents to each of us. Until then, I hope you have a great week on mission with King Jesus.